Pad up. It's the Australian Cricket Podcast. And here are your hosts.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the Australian Cricket Podcast. It's a hat trick of big guests this week. And to wrap it all up, I've got Jackson Bird. He made his test debut in the 2012 Boxing Day Test. He's played 8 tests for Australia and taken 34 wickets, and he was on the recent tour to India with the Australian Test squad. So let's get into the chat with Test star Jackson Bird. Hello, Jackson. Welcome to the Australian Cricket Podcast. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Now, Jackson, it's a great thrill for me to have you on the show because I've been a big Bird fan since your career started.
Thank you.
So thanks for coming on. And I'm a Sesame Street fan, so it all comes together. So I wanted to ask you, before we get into some cricket questions, I mean, how's your preparation for the upcoming summer being affected by the current wage negotiations?
Look, it hasn't really been affected too much. Obviously, we didn't go to South Africa on the Australia A tour, which is a little bit disappointing that that didn't go ahead. But yeah, in terms of getting prepared to play cricket, I think it's been pretty normal, a normal pre-season. We haven't missed any sessions down in Tassie. So yeah, we've been training 6 days, five, 6 days a week, and yeah, coming back and forth from Brisbane as well, trying to get a bit of bowling done outdoors. And yeah, it's obviously not an ideal situation, but yeah, I think it's important that all the players stick together.
Yeah, how does it affect your mental state when something like this is going on?
No, it hasn't really affected my mental state too much. It obviously plays on your mind a little bit, not having a deal done and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that are off contract at the moment that are probably doing it a little bit tougher than I am at the moment. I'm still contracted at Tassie, so I guess I'm one of the lucky ones. But, yeah, there's a lot of guys that are playing on their minds a little bit more than, I guess, the guys that are still on contract. So, yeah hopefully that'll get sorted out pretty quickly.
And do the ACA communicate with senior players like yourself often?
Yeah, they're pretty, they've been really good, actually. So every new sort of, I guess, movements in the negotiations, they're pretty quick to tell us what's going on. So all the players are, you know, got their full support behind the ACA and the job that they're doing for us and, I suppose, the game of cricket as well. So
yeah, I mean, they're talking about putting it to arbitration now, the ACA, to mediation. I guess one thing that has been raised is, post this negotiation, will there be any lingering animosity towards Cricket Australia by the players? What do you think? You're around the group.
Look, I'm not really sure, to be honest. Yeah, I think both parties just want what's best for them, I guess. So I'm not sure there'll be any animosity when the deal gets done. And yeah, it's pretty hard to tell whether that's going to happen right now. So
yeah, how about you? Do you feel like you'll be able to get over it?
Look, I don't hold grudges. So once the deal gets done, it'll be pretty quickly forgotten, I reckon.
Yeah, get on with the next game of cricket.
Yep, exactly.
Now, have you been told anything about your position on the Bangladesh tour? Because there was media reports that you were penciled in as maybe the 14th or another spin bowler. Have you been given any feedback about when you might even find out?
I think a decision's probably being made in the next couple of weeks. So yeah, I suppose the selectors have been and the coach have been communicating a bit. So yeah, I've just got to get ready for the tour as if I'm going and prepare as if I am going on the tour. A decision will get made soon, so hopefully that goes my way. But
well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I've just got to prepare as if I am going. So we've got a camp up in Darwin starting next week, so it'll be good to get up there and be around the boys again. And then
not a John Buchanan boot camp though in the wild, I hope.
I actually just got back from one for Tassie this week. We had 4 days in the bush and trekked about 60 k's. Had to take all our own food and stuff. Not really an outdoor.
Did anyone try and smuggling some fags a la Shane Warne?
No, it wasn't very nutritious, some of the stuff the bikes are eating, but yeah, it was. I'm not really an outdoorsy type, so I certainly miss my comforts of home. So, it was good to get out with all the boys and have a bit of bonding time, I guess. So.
Excellent. Well, let's go back to your test debut. I was actually there in the Boxing Day test of 2012 versus Sri Lanka. It's a great moment for you. How did you first find out you were going to pull on the baggy green?
I got picked for the team after, I think, Ben Hilfenhaus got injured in the test before in Hobart. So I knew I was a sniff. And I got a call from John Inverity to let me know I was in the squad. And then I got a call pretty soon after from Ali De Winter, who was the bowling coach at the time, and he said, you know, get ready to play because they might be resting Starkey. So, yeah, I just thought I was going to be in the squad and probably be 12th man. But then Starkey obviously got rested. And
he wasn't
I came
happy
into
about
the squad.
That.
No, he wasn't. So, which is fair enough. I think he bowled more overs in the nets than we did in the game. So, I think we won pretty convincingly. So, yeah, so I got a call from Mickey Arthur 2 days before and, yeah, told me I was going
Excellent.
To debut. So.
And when you sort of reflected on that achievement of finally achieving your dream of playing for Australia, who was the one person you wanted to thank the most?
I think it's probably my parents. You know, my mum and dad have been so supportive of me, sorry, and trying to, I guess, live my dreams of being a professional cricketer. And, you know, they're the ones that gave up their weekends, taking me to and from, you know, school cricket, rep cricket, even sometimes grade cricket. So, yeah.
Was that in Sydney you grew up?
I did. I grew up in Sydney on the northern beaches of Sydney. So,
which grade club did you play for?
I played most of my junior stuff at Manly and the first few years of grade cricket at Manly. And then I swapped to Bankstown for a couple of seasons. I think I had 3 years there. And then I finished off playing at Manly for my last year before I moved down to Tassie. So, didn't get much of an opportunity at Manly when I was younger. And, you know, there was a few good fast bowlers there and I probably didn't apply myself as well as what I should have. So a change was good and, you know, playing at Bankstown was really good for my cricket. So
yeah, and, you know, you said that about your parents. I mean, parents have such a big influence on a young cricketer's life. I mean, cricket is such a time drain, which is why it's hard to get young kids into it. And, you know, I've got two little kids, you know, if they get into cricket, you're going to spend all weekend going from cricket ground to cricket ground.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some days would be, you know, Saturday, all day Saturday, and then you'd have a rep game on Sunday and you might be playing up in Newcastle or something like that. So then we'd have to get up at 6 a.m. and go up the coast and then they'd spend all day there. So, yeah, like I said, I'm forever grateful for the time that my parents gave up.
Yeah, so you spoke about Mickey Arthur giving you the call-up, and since then Darren Lehman's taken over the job. You've also played under probably two different captains, Michael Clarke and Steve Smith. What's the character like in the Aussie dressing room at the moment? Is it like a fun, jokey vibe? Is it a very professional vibe? Are there any pranksters? What's the vibe like?
Oh, it's a pretty good vibe at the moment. I think all the guys have sort of grown up. All the guys in the team now have sort of grown up playing together. So everyone knows each other really well. And it's a good place to be around. I think Buff's created an environment where, or Buff and Smudger created an environment where, you know, blokes can be themselves and, you know, they can talk up if they have something to say and not fear other people, I suppose, judging them and stuff like that. And it's just good fun. You know, playing cricket for Australia, there's nothing better. So
that's good to hear because I don't think all dressing rooms are always great fun all around the world or even in all Australian teams. So it's good that you say that everyone's on having a good time at the moment.
Yeah, well, you've got to enjoy your cricket. Otherwise, can be a pretty tough game if you're not enjoying it. So, yeah, all the boys enjoy each other's company and, yeah, like I said, playing cricket for Australia.
How are the young blokes coming in, like Peter Handscomb and Matty Renshaw? What influence have they had?
I think after the Hobart test, there was a fair few changes. And when the changes come in like that, the new sort of faces, they sort of pick the other guys up and I suppose bring that a bit of extra energy that you probably lose when you're not playing well. So those young guys were great. Andy Renshaw's obviously got a lot to say and had some pretty sort of funny conversations. And, you know, Peter Handscomb's one of the best blokes going around, so yeah, it's good fun having those guys in the change rooms.
Now, when Darren Lehman took over the job as coach, he made no secret of his desire to pick sort of extremely fast bowlers. How do those sort of comments affect you?
Yeah, it's obviously, you know, bowling 140 plus is something that I can't really do. So, you know, it's not something that I'm ever going to be able to do and it's not something that I've done in the past. So I guess it's probably, I understand where he's coming from because the four guys, Hazelwood, Stark, Pattinson and Cummins, they're all, you know, bloody good bowlers. So, you know, if you have four guys in your team that bowl 140 k's an hour plus, you know, you'd be mad not to pick them. But, you know, I just had to, I suppose, focus on playing well for Tassie and trying to take wickets. And I think Josh shows that you don't have to bowl express pace to be successful at Test cricket because, you know, he's probably the best bowler in the world. And, you know, he bowls mid-130s to high-130s. But, you know, he does the same thing over and over again. And that's just as effective as bowling 145 k's.
Yeah, I think control is often underrated in a test attack. You need balance. It's obviously good to have one really quick bowler to rattle the batsman. But, you know, you look at McGrath, Hazelwood, even, you know, you can't have three or four bowlers bowling 140 plus, because invariably when you bowl that quick, you mix in the odd loose ball, which, yeah, I think that's been underrated. Did personally, though, when those comments came out, how did you sort of take them?
Well, I guess you just got to take them with a grain of salt, I suppose. There's not much you can do about it. And I suppose I showed over the last sort of 12 months that your performances, if you do perform well, you're going to get picked. You know, there's obviously a lot of injuries with those big sort of four fast bowlers. And yeah, you just got to be ready to go at the right time. So luckily I was ready to go this year when there was a spot available. But, you know, I've just got to keep, I suppose, working hard and make sure that I'm in the position in the future that when something does happen, when one of them gets injured, that, you know, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, definitely. As being someone that's on the fringes of the Aussie side, do you get adequate communication from the selectors? Are they pretty good in keeping you informed about whereabouts you are?
Yeah, absolutely. The selectors are really good with that. They let you know where you stand, and you know, their door's always open if you've got any questions about selection and where you sit and stuff. All you need to do is give them a buzz, and Bush's really good at communicating with the players and where they sit, and you know, you can't ask much more for them. So. Yeah, they're really good in letting you know where you're at. Like I said, if you want to say something, you know, their door's always open, which is good.
Now, you've been lucky enough to play tests against Sri Lanka, Pakistan, South Africa and England. Of those matches, and I think you've got 34 test wickets as we speak, many more to come, I hope. Who is your favourite international dismissal so far?
Obviously, my first test wicket was a pretty special one, but I got Alistair Cook out in the first innings of the Ashes test that I played in, and he was the captain at the time, and that was a pretty big wicket, I guess. There's been a couple of memorable ones, I guess, but, you know, Kane Richardson out in the second innings of the last test in New Zealand, which was a special one, but Alistair Cook's definitely was number one.
Excellent. And as a big fast bowler, do you like to have a few words with the batsman?
No, I don't really say anything. I'm quiet. I try and let the ball do the talking, I guess. I don't think I'm really witty enough to say anything too funny or anything like that. So I try not to let my emotions get in the way of what I'm trying to do on the field. There's plenty of guys in the team that like to have a chat, so I leave all that up to those blokes, really. So
in the slips and around the bat.
Yeah, Dave Warner's got a big mouth at mid-off as well, so he's usually good for a chat here and there. So.
Good. Do you have any players that fire you up in particular? You know, when you see them taking their guard, you're like, all right, I feel like I'm a chance here. Or not like you feel like you're a chance, but you're going to get stuck in. Anyone in particular that riles you up, interstate or international?
No one in particular, really. You obviously want to get the good players out from the other team.
What about Ed Cowan, your old teammate?
Yeah, he's pretty easy to wind up sometimes. So anyone that's, I suppose, a big player for the opposition, you want to get stuck in and I suppose give him a good contest. I used to love playing against Wadey.
Matty Wade?
For Victoria. Matty Wade, yeah, he was always, he's a sort of gritty sort of player and a fighter, and it's always good to come up against him and get into a good battle with him. We're lucky enough to have him down in Tassie now, so don't have to worry about that.
Nice. Oh yeah, he'll be on your team. Now, I want to ask you about the recent test series against India, but before we do that, I wanted to ask you, you know, we all know you as a cricketer, but what's your big interest outside cricket?
I suppose these days when you're travelling a lot and you're away from home a lot of the time of the year, I just try and chill out when I come home. I don't really play golf. I don't do any of that sort of stuff. I just like to chill. And I've done uni and stuff like that when I've been home. I got a dog a couple of weeks ago, so she's been keeping me pretty busy. A British bulldog, so.
Nice.
She's been keeping me busy. She's an absolute lunatic, so.
There you go. Plenty of walks ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you had a close view of the recent test series in India, between Australia and India. How hot and ill-tempered was it between the teams?
It was, you know, it was pretty there's a lot of tension between the two teams. And it was a massive series, so you expect that in a big series like that. And every time we play against India, it's always like that. So, yeah, they've got a few guys in their team that like to have a chat and pretty sort of hot-headed, I guess. So that was a an amazing series to be a part of. Although I didn't play, it was great fun being on the sideline. There was always something going on, and yeah, there was a few words got said here and there, and yeah.
Has Virat Kohli sort of damaged the relationship between the two teams?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I don't know whether the two teams have ever had a really good relationship on the field, I suppose. You know, a lot of the guys play a lot of IPL cricket with a lot of the Indians, so a lot of them are friends with the Indian guys off the field, but as soon as you go on the field, that sort of all changes. And that's the way cricket should be played, I think. You know, you play hard on the field and then you can come up and have a better loss of the game. So,
yeah, right. So I guess, how deep was the sense of disappointment within the squad when you fell just short of a history-making victory?
Yeah, look, it was really disappointing. You know, there was a couple of big moments in the squad, where we probably let it slip a little bit. I think in the second innings at Bangalore in the second test, we were in a really good position and they probably got a few too many runs on a hard wicket to bat on. And then their spinners came in and did the work in the last innings. And then in the last test, we were certainly in a good position to win the game. And I think we saved our worst batting performance for the second innings in the last test. And I think we were bowled out in about 30 overs. So we needed to post a total of more than 200 and we probably would have won the series. So I think it's pretty disappointing that we didn't get over the line, but I think the team's moved forward a lot, I suppose, in the subcontinent since the last Indian series where we lost convincingly 4-0 and then in Sri Lanka where we got flogged as well. So I think the guys are going in the right direction playing in the subcontinent. It's obviously not our strongest area of the world of where we play. So I think the guys have improved a lot, which is good going forward. There's obviously a big series coming up in a couple of weeks against Bangladesh, so hopefully, you know, the guys can...
Hopefully it'll happen.
Yeah, well, that's right, yeah.
Security concerns from you guys about Bangladesh?
I don't think so. I think, yeah, the English team went over there recently and they were, from all reports, the security was A-grade, so we've got full support. We've got full confidence in our security teams and all the stuff that's being done behind the scenes to make sure that we're safe and that we can just focus on playing cricket, I guess. So,
yeah,
hopefully the tour, I suppose, goes reminisce ahead in about, the first place. So.
Reminisce about Dizzy's double 100 in Bangladesh.
Yeah,
that's
well, I was
gonna happen a lot.
Yeah, we were up in Brisbane recently. He was coach of the Australia A team and he ran us through the 200.
The details.
So, it's still amazing to think about that, really, that actually happened. But
it was amazing to watch. I remember just...
Yeah, absolutely.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, before I let you go, I want to ask you a few quick broad cricket questions because of your excellent experience. So you played in the Gabba day-night test last year. Are you a fan of day-night test cricket and how close is the Kookaburra pink ball to being a finished product?
Yeah, look, I'm a big fan of the day-night test. Yeah, we played in Adelaide against South Africa and that was brilliant playing there. That's one of the best places to play cricket these days. And then against Pakistan at the Gabba was really good as well. There's always a bit in it for the bowlers. Just there's always a little bit more in the wicket. The ball's pretty... It's pretty good when it starts, when it's new, but there's sort of a bit of a period from probably 55 to 80 overs gets soft and it doesn't really do anything. So if the wicket's flat, yeah, it's pretty hard work for the bowlers. So you just got to, I suppose, contain for, you know, that 30 over period. And then
moves around again and at night.
Yeah, no, I suppose, all the conditions, I guess... Yeah, they all sort of rely on, I guess, being at night and stuff, the ball will do a little bit more. So I suppose when it's flat and it's not doing much, you know, you've got to wait a short amount of time before you either get a new ball or, you know, the lights come on and it's a different game when the lights come on. So
it's like the reverse of conventional cricket. Normally you'd try and wear the attack down and then, you know, make them pay at the end of the day, whereas in this case, the bowlers can come back into the game as the lights come on. So it adds a new dimension.
Yeah, it does. Look, you know, if you can get a wicket with the old ball before the lights come on, you're in the game. So, you just, I suppose, got to bide your time in the middle session where there's not much going on in the first session and then got to defend a little bit more in those sort of two sessions, the first two sessions, and then you can really get yourself into a good position. You can really attack in the last session when the lights come on and when the ball's doing a bit more. So that's something that we sort of speak about. Contain as much as you can in the first two sessions and then you can really attack if you're in a good position later in the day, which is good. So That's what we sort of try and do in those day-night games.
Yeah, it was a great victory in Adelaide against South Africa in that Test match. I was there for that one as well, actually. Really good game. Now, there were a few complaints recently when South Africa's fast bowler, Kagiso Rabada, was suspended for swearing. And what I want to ask you is, as a fast bowler, how hard is it to keep your emotions in check in the middle of a tense battle, in a tense Test match? You're running in and bowling quick. How hard is it to sort of keep your emotions under control?
I suppose, for me, I don't think it's too hard to keep my emotions in check. I'm a pretty laid-back sort of character, so I bowl my best when I'm calm and relaxed and stuff, and I just try not to let things get on top of me. But there's other guys out there that, they really get up and get going when they're fired up. To see Go Rabada, he's probably one of those bowlers as well, so he really enjoys getting into the contest and really likes to be pretty vocal and that sort of stuff. And, you know, everyone's different. I'm sort of the opposite of that. I just try and go about my business. And, yeah, I don't perform as well when I'm a bit riled up. So I just try and keep all my emotions in check. And I suppose that's one of the challenges of playing Test cricket. It's bloody hard. And you're not going to get things going your way all the time. So you've got to be able to, I suppose, keep your emotions in check, or whatever gets you going, you need to be able to find that to be able to perform. So that's one of the, I suppose, the challenges of playing Test cricket.
Do you have any sort of cranky teammates? I know some bowlers like to sort of get cranky to get them up. Is anyone in your teammate that likes to get a bit cranky?
Mitchell Starc can get a bit cranky here and there.
Good.
He sort of likes having a chat and getting involved in the game, and gets fired up, and, you know, that's what gets him going. Yeah, he gets in the contest, and, you know, that's what gets him going. And, you know, he's a world-class bowler, and when he's fired up and bowling fast, that's when he bowls the best. But yeah, it depends on, you know, some of the batters can be a bit cranky when they miss out on runs and stuff. So I'm usually trying to steer clear of them in the dressing room if they miss out. So
give him a bit of space.
Absolutely.
Now, last question before I let you go. I'm a massive Sydney Sixers fan. Actually, it's been a battle for me, because I tried to be neutral last summer because I was covering a lot of the Big Bash, but I actually couldn't do it, you know. Yep. Every time I went out to the Thunderground, I wanted the Thunder to lose. I'm a big Sixers fan. How do you see the Big Bash's growth, and would you like to see maybe a few more games per year for the Sixers?
I think the Big Bash has been amazing in the last couple of years, how much it's taken off and how big the Big Bash is these days, so it's great to see that. I think the Big Bash is probably, there's enough games being played at the moment, so I think I suppose the scheduling's perfect, I suppose. I don't think there needs to be any more games added or anything like that. I don't think that it should take, I suppose, precedence over the Sheffield Shield. So obviously the Big Bash is, it's great for everyone involved, but I think playing first-class cricket and giving guys the best opportunity to play well in Test cricket, I think that still should be Cricket Australia's focus, which I think it is, which is good. So, but yeah, like I said, the Big Bash has gone from strength to strength in the last couple of years, and it's great fun to be part of. Playing in front of big crowds as a domestic cricketer, you know, you don't normally get to do that if you're not playing international cricket. So in a way, it gets guys ready to play.
The buzz.
Yeah, it gets guys, I suppose, prepares them well to play international cricket because of, you know, you're playing in front of big crowds every week, which is great. So you can't replicate that if you're not doing it. So.
And now with the Big Bash, you know, you play the Sheffield Shield in a block of five games in the beginning and of the end of the summer. I mean, I think one positive to that is it matches the way Test series are played now, sort of in blocks together, and they block off the format. Do you like the way they do that?
Yeah, look, I think you need to be able to get your body ready to used to playing week in, week out in Sheffield Shield cricket. That gets you ready to play Test cricket and back-to-back Tests, which is pretty draining on your body, and it's pretty it's hard work. So I think, having to play, you know, five Shield games in sort of 2 months, it's pretty taxing on the body, but it gets you ready for the rigours of international cricket.
Excellent. Well, Jackson, I think we've come to the end of our time together. Thank you so much for giving up your time afternoon. You got a lot coming up, hopefully Bangladesh, if not the Ashes summer and the Sixers campaign. So, as I said, I will be supporting the Sixers.
No
I'm a
worries,
big Bird fan. So have a great day, and thanks for coming on the podcast.
No worries, mate. Thanks very much for that.
Well, listeners, that's it for a great week of podcasts. It started with Adam Voges. We had Ben Cutting in the middle, and we've wrapped it up with Jackson Bird. What a great week. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Remember to rate and review the show on iTunes. The Have a Go Your Mug promotion is going on. So if you do leave a review somewhere, email me at gmail, ozcricketpod@gmail.com. And I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another show.